Hello and welcome to episode number 25 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
Coming up, we look back at the weekend that was for Illinois basketball, baseball, track and field. And Robert, I'm so excited for the guest we have today, Kendall Bostick.
Should have won the Edelman Award last year. I'll let it go. I don't know why I care about the Edelman Award. I'm probably the only person who cares about the Edelman Award, but it should have been her.
The Edelman Award to the
top male and female athlete in Illini Athlete of the Year, basically.
Yes. Well, Kendall Bostick is now a former Illini basketball player, and she left Illinois as the career leading rebounder. She's now the radio analyst for Illinois women's basketball. They are in the Big Ten tournament this Wednesday as the 10 seed against Wisconsin. And we're going to catch it. There's nothing more infectious than the personality of Kendall Bostick.
Yes. Yes. I'm excited about this.
Yes. And you know what? We need a little bit of positivity, a little bit of pick me up.
What? After losing 4 of 6 on the basketball court? Saying that's bad?
Yeah. Illinois and Michigan were Friday night. I know it's a little bit in the rearview mirror, but we're going to process that a little bit. But hey, I got some other good news.
What's that?
Illinois baseball's won 5 in a row.
5 in a row. That was a very happy road trip for you, I'm sure.
And Illinois track and field, the women, took 2nd in the Big Ten in the indoor championships. So cheer up, bud.
Yes, yes.
Turn that frown upside down.
Turn that eye on.
Yes. I'm sure this eye will be a sunny orange for us, right?
No. It's still blue. I tried a little surgery on it. Didn't work. Going to have to disconnect a few wires, a little movie scene bomb, cut the red wire, reattach the yellow wire. I'm going to have to figure it out. But we do have blue on the eye.
All right. Whatever color it is, we will accept it.
Let's do it.
Light the eye.
Let's do it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ah, there it is.
All right, let's dive into it. The Illinois-Michigan game on Friday night, a top 10 showdown. And I have a take.
Okay, hit me.
Here's my take. Michigan.
Yes?
Michigan might be a better basketball team. Yes. Illinois is a really good basketball team. Mm-hmm. There's not many teams. There are not a lot of teams that are better than Illinois, but Michigan might be one of them.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's so, I mean, even if you look at the just records right now, there are 3 superior teams, and they are Duke, Michigan, and Arizona, all with 2 losses. And then everybody else is like 4, 5, 6, 7 losses and this and that. So yes, it feels like right now in college basketball, there's 3 really great teams. We played one of them. We had a streak of 2,605 days without losing to them since January 10th of 2019, when Keaton Wagler was 11 years old, might I note. And that streak has now come to an end.
Well, there is a streak going in football right now.
Yes. Right,
of days since Michigan's beaten Illinois in football.
That's a good point. See? Because the last win would have been 2022. So, yes, we are about to hit 4 years without losing to Michigan in football. Only 1 win, but it's still a thing.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
It's years since the loss is how I've kept all those streaks going.
So wait, right now Illinois basketball is on like a, what is this, Monday?
It's exactly 365 days since Illinois basketball lost to them or beat Michigan last year on March 2nd. So it has been 365 days
I know.
Since Illinois
but you're counting
has beaten Michigan.
Football, you just went back to the last time Illinois lost to Michigan in 2022.
Yes, haven't lost to them in 4 years. I'm standing by it.
Okay, so the clock's already running.
Yes, for I prefer. You. I get to manipulate already, these streaks however I choose.
Illinois has been on a 3-day streak without losing to Michigan in basketball, is what
no,
you're saying?
No, what
yes,
I'm
you
saying.
Are.
Well, yes, in a sense. I am saying that the last loss to Michigan in basketball or in football, just happened to be 2022. It is the year 2026. We have not lost to Michigan, and we beat them once in 2024.
Why wouldn't you just start with Michigan hasn't beaten us in 2 years?
Because you got to go back.
So, one and a half years, whatever that is.
I used to keep this streak for Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And so I would always go back in KenPom usually to find the date of the last loss. And then I would list the number of days since Illinois had lost to Michigan. And it reached 2,605 as of Friday and then did not reach 2,606.
Well, I want to go to expectations coming into this year.
Yes.
Because I think there are different reactions to this whole thing based on the loss. You know, I just, coming into this year, you knew Michigan would be full of talent and could well do exactly what they are doing. Purdue was expected to be right there. They're slightly underperforming compared to expectations.
I mean, preseason number one, and for them to have seven losses, that's underperforming,
yes.
Definitely. Four home losses for Purdue.
Everybody figured Michigan State would be in the mix because they just usually are.
Mm-hmm.
And Illinois was known to be going to have a lot of talent, but young with new pieces, and what would they look like? And it turns out Illinois has been pretty good.
Yes.
The number one offense in the country for the most part.
Yes.
So the fact that you lose to Michigan hurts, and it's disappointing, but I think there's some anger to it that I don't quite understand.
I even found myself relieved that Illinois had lost the three overtime games, because if that game was for the Big Ten title, like, think if Illinois had won the three overtime games, then Friday night would have been for the Big Ten. It would have been to give Michigan their second Big Ten loss, and let's say Illinois also had lost to Nebraska. So Illinois, you know, they'd both be coming in with one loss. That would have been for the Big Ten, and we would have just shown that we're not at their level. And that's the hard thing to accept. As a fan, I'm at... You know, when we reached number four in KenPom, and when we reached top five in the polls, and we had won at Purdue and won at Nebraska, I was at this like, is it happening? Is this the year? Are we someday going to say 1989, 2005, and 2026? Are we at that level? Losing these four of six has lowered my brain to, oh, really good. Very hopeful for the tournament. Not on that, wow, this is one of the best teams in the country level, like 89 and 05 were. We're a tier below that. And that's just something to accept. Is it a disappointment? Maybe, given the 20-3 start, but it's still this, you know, not over yet. Teams can get hot. Best offense in the country, find some way to fix the defense. And maybe there's something there, but yeah.
Well, in listening to the players and Brad Underwood today in their media availability, because they play Oregon tomorrow night, you know, they're not looking at it in the way I just described it. Oh, well, sure. You know, Michigan's just good. What are we supposed to do about it? They're like, we got to get back to fewer mental mistakes, and we got into too much one-on-one play, and Brad Underwood talked about we were maybe trying to do too much defensively. We need to be simpler and more fundamentals and do what we do really well. So it's not like they're looking at it the way I described it. This is me just saying it looked like Michigan was a better team. At least they were. I don't know if you replay that game 100 times, I think Michigan wins it more than Illinois does.
Definitely.
But Illinois could beat them.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of what this month is. Now, this is our first show in March.
Yep.
And the beauty of what happens in March is actually what could happen in March.
Definitely.
For everybody.
Yep.
There is still you don't have to go win a 7-game series against a team if you're an underdog against them. You only got to beat them that day.
Yep. Yep. I mean, the craziest thing about all this to me, you know, if you go by KenPom, if you just go by the metrics, and again, KenPom is ignoring wins and losses. So an overtime loss is kind of pointless on KenPom. It's just looking at your efficiency of scoring. Yeah,
net looks at wins and losses.
Yes. KenPom is just straight up like, I don't care what the schedule is. What kind of basketball did you play in each game? Is it sustainable? Has it been sustainable for teams in the past? Are you doing the things that win games? You know, Illinois beat Northwestern how many weeks ago? 3 weeks ago, 84-44. Illinois was then moved from 6-5 in KenPom. Illinois has lost 4 of 6 since then, and that's incredible to say. Lost to Michigan State, lost to Wisconsin, lost to UCLA, lost to Michigan. And Illinois today is number 5 in KenPom still. Have not moved, haven't 4 losses in 6 games and haven't dropped a single spot. Are still playing the 5th best basketball in the country.
Yeah. They also played one of the best defenses.
Yes.
And one of the best offenses is always going to be impacted more by one of the best defenses than the other way around.
Definitely. So it is a, this is still definitely one of the top 10 teams in the country. The 7 losses are a pretty big disappointment. And you really wanted to take a run at the Big Ten, but it was clear Friday night this was Michigan's year to win the Big Ten, and that's that. So, but look, you still have the numbers to make it happen. You still have, efficiency-wise, the number one offense in the country, and you've got 2 lower-level opponents this week to get yourself right, and then a couple Big Ten tournament games to hopefully do the same. And it's a team capable of winning 4 straight, if not 6 straight, in March.
These last 2 games, Oregon tomorrow night and Maryland on Sunday, last time I looked, and it was probably a week ago, this would be Quad 3 games. So
yes.
These are games that actually it hurts you more to lose than it helps you by winning, but
yep.
You should get 2 more wins out of this, how things stack up on paper. And with that, the Illini should be a triple bye in the Big Ten tournament, which means they would start in the quarterfinals on
yep.
Friday, a week from this Friday in Chicago. And Illinois is certainly capable of beating anybody in the Big Ten, even if you view Michigan at least as a superior team. So a couple of wins on Friday, Saturday, maybe even winning the whole tournament, that would all but give you a solid 2 seed. I don't think a 1 seed's in the picture anymore.
No, not with 7 losses.
But they've been hanging on the 3 seed line right now. Yesterday they were the top 3 seed,
mm-hmm.
So kind of the number 9 overall seed. They could get back into that 2 seed with.
But then Purdue lost to Ohio State, and Illinois is probably a rung ahead of Purdue again. So, yeah, it's crazy. So we did that thing, what, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, where I was going through the, to get to St. Louis, it's probably between Iowa State, Purdue, and Illinois. And we did the thing where it was, hey, do we, you know, two of those 3 teams probably go to St. Louis. The 3rd gets, as I said at the time, shuffled off to Buffalo. And right now, it shuffled looks like those 3 teams, you look at a lot of the seed lists, it's like 8, 9, 10 are Illinois, Purdue, and Iowa State. Iowa State plays at Arizona tonight. If they lose that, then Illinois is probably definitely ahead of them as well, because they would have lost, 4 of 5 or 3 of 4, something like that. So here we are in March now talking about, like, the 2 best teams of those 3 get to go to St. Louis, and the 3rd one has to go to a different site, Greenville, South Carolina, or maybe Buffalo. And here we are talking about them like literally next to each other on the seed line right now. It's going to come down to the final day.
I was just in Greenville, South Carolina. If you get sent there, there's a lot of worse places to be.
Yes.
Beautiful town.
Yes.
That's for a different day, though.
Yeah, I obviously, being a St. Louis guy, I want to be in St. Louis. I want friends and family there. I want the crowd to be 70% orange and blue. But if we got to go to Buffalo, we got to go to Buffalo. If we got to go to Greenville, we got to go to Greenville. We'll see.
Do what you got to do. You're an everyday guy.
That's right. That's right. I'll show up with my lunch pail.
Producer Ella Peterson is here. Hello, Ella.
Hey, guys.
How was your weekend?
It was good. I think it was a more chill weekend here with sports at Illinois, minus the Michigan game. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the Friday night letdown, and then, you know, a lot of good stuff happened in the other sports over the weekend.
Illinois women were tight on Minnesota. We're going to talk to Kendall Bostic here in a moment, but came down to a bunch of free throws at the end for the Golden Gophers, and now the Illini are a 10 seed.
True. I mean, I've had a blast watching women's basketball. My freshman year, so last year, was Kendall Bostic's senior year. And so covering her last year, she was a treat. And so then listening to her today and kind of her perspective on the team, I will be so shocked if she doesn't end up an Illinois coach or working somehow with Shauna Green, just in the way that she talks about the program and how much she knows about basketball is unreal.
I have a campus question for you, Ella. So this morning I went and I got coffee and a bagel at Einstein up on the corner of University and Lincoln there. And then I came to the Armory here. So I went down to, I drove down to Green Street and then across Green to Fifth and then came down to the Armory. So it's just, you were just going straight through campus, right at, you know, this and that. And I remember my longest walk between two classes was, is it called Engineering Hall? What's that old, old engineering building straight across Green from the Union? Material Science, maybe? Mm-hmm. I had a class there. I don't remember. One of my math classes was across. It wasn't in Altgeld. It was across the street. I don't remember what it was for. But then I had to get to a class here in the Armory. And that's like, so my question is, are classes still like from the start of the hour to 50 minutes and then you have 10 minutes to walk to your next class?
Yeah, but okay. There's also an hour and 20-minute classes, and then you have the 10 minutes to get to your next one. So my class, like, tomorrow is 9:30 to 10:50.
9:30. I don't think I ever had a class that didn't start just right on the hour. Do you remember?
I mean, yeah, it's a long time. I had
there were classes that started a half hour? Yeah. Maybe I was just
even
that,
rehearsals.
That bad of a student. I remember every class being over at 50. Like, walking from material science to Armory, I don't know if that's possible in 10 minutes. I just remember like hustling each time to get from one class to the next.
Long jumping 10 feet, that's no problem. But a little extra giddy up to get to your next class.
Yeah, what's been your 2 years here? So what's been your longest like hike between class? Have you had that, like, I've got 10 minutes, I'm going to get all the way across campus?
I mean, guys, I'm a college and media kid.
We live
Greg to Lincoln, and then occasionally class in the Armory. So
okay.
I stay in like a little. Yes. Sometimes yes. We dabble over in DKH.
Dabble in DKH. I like it.
I love it, guys.
Yes, it is. We deserve to be guised all the time, Scott.
I think that was you.
Yes.
I don't know why I was getting lumped in on this whole thing, but.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have to, like, I remember I'd go, what's the building on your way to ISR that has the bridge over the top? If you're going from, like, the Union to ISR, is that Geology Building, something like that?
The bridge?
There's like, a second story,
like a walkway. Sciences, by the Life Sciences Building?
Yes, yes. Yeah. If you walk from the Union, you go past what is Harker Hall or whatever that is, and then you go under this second story walkway, cross the street, and you're off to ISR there. I had a class there, and then I had to go all the way to, where was it? Mumford, maybe? Oh, no, DKH. I had to go from there to DKH, and that's a hike, too. Like, who walks that far? I remember, like, I would sometimes drive. I'd get a parking ticket. I didn't care. Like, I wanted to try to set my schedule so that the classes were close together and that the buildings were close together, because I didn't want to hike from material science to the Armory.
Only those classes were 10 feet apart.
You
just hop from one to the other.
No problem.
No problem.
No warm up.
All right. Kendall Bostic is our guest. We're going to talk to her in just a moment. Please, if you haven't already, please like and subscribe, if you would, or give us stop for a moment and give us a review. We really appreciate it, and we're so glad you are here. The great Kendall Bostic's our guest. We talk to her next. This episode of Light the Eye is brought to you in part by Logic Coworking. Located at the corner of Neal and St. Mary, Logic Coworking offers a great space for you to be productive for whatever it is you need. Maybe it's a few hours of studying or some quiet space to reflect and work on a project. Or maybe you need a whole month or several months to do some remote working. Whether you are that remote worker or a student or maybe just a professor who needs a little bit of a change of scenery, Logic Coworking is for you. They also have event spaces. Maybe you have a corporate or team meeting that you need to get done. There's conference rooms that you can rent or more permanent offices. And they're adjacent to the Bake Lab and Napoli's restaurant. Logic Coworking in Champaign is a place for you to be productive in a friendly and quiet environment. We are so pleased to have with us here on Light the Eye, Kendall Bostick. She's the all-time leading rebounder in Illinois women's basketball history. Came to the program as a transfer from Michigan State and then was a centerpiece under Shauna Green and the turnaround. She helped the Illini to a WNIT championship, its first NCAA postseason basketball win in quite some time. Now she oversees the Varsity Eye program for former Illinois athletes, and she is the radio analyst for Learfield on women's basketball broadcasts. So glad to have you here at the table.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Thank you. And you're smiling despite yesterday's outcome at the State Farm Center against Minnesota.
Yeah.
This team has had a penchant for being so close in so many games and playing so hard and tough and sometimes can't get over the hump. And there's a part of you that wants to say, look at what you have done and what the future will be, and a part that probably just goes, why can't we get over that hump and be just a little bit, a few more points here and there?
It's hard, like, you know, with our group, it took us a while to figure stuff out. And I feel like people forget that. I feel like people will remember our last 2 years where we did win. We won the WBIT, and then we won a ton of other games, and then we went to the NCAA tournament. But, like, that first year, Shauna, we struggled to figure stuff out. We lost close games. And so we figured it out, and then we played together for a little while, and then she gets a whole new group this year. And so – and a lot of these guys are a lot younger than we were when we came together. So that's what, you know, I always try and tell people. It's like, these guys are young. They don't know what it feels like to be in, you know, a late shot clock situation like that. They don't know what it feels like to what kind of shot needs to be taken at this time. And they're learning and trying to figure that out as they go along. But so, I mean, this is, I've been proud of them for how they fought. I mean, they haven't given up. They haven't quit in any of the games. They always fight till the very, very end. The first quarters are kind of killing us, but I think Coach would agree with that. But you know, we've made adjustments in season. The girls have made adjustments. So I'm excited to see how they do. If we can keep this core group together going forward, I'm excited.
Has this year felt like a big adjustment for you? A year ago at this time, you were in uniform.
Yeah.
You were getting ready for postseason play. Mm-hmm. Now you're an adult. You're a professional. You're on the radio. You've got a day job. But you still get to hang around the basketball team. But does it feel like, oh, man, my life's in transition? Or do you feel settled with what you are and what you're doing right now?
It was really like that in the summer, I would say, because, like, you know, after the season, you still get your time off regardless. And then, you know, spring workouts are more about recovery, and you don't even do workouts. We really just work with our strength coach, Kylie, and do mobility. So I was doing that on my own anyway. So I really didn't hit it until, like, June came, and that was when the girls were back in summer workouts, and I was seeing the Instagram posts and, like, the videos, and I'm like, oh, man, like, I really don't have anything to do. So it was really hard this summer just trying to find ways to fill my time, because basketball and student teaching had always been my thing, and so I'd always been busy. And so having to figure that out was kind of a struggle. And then obviously, like, getting health insurance and, like, car insurance and buying a new car, like, all of that stuff was, like, a new challenge as well. But I feel like I've settled into it really well. I enjoy it. I enjoy having control of my schedule, have more time to myself, and, like, trying to do things that I want to do. But radio has definitely helped with the adjustment in season. I think if I wasn't doing radio, I would be kind of going mad just because I'm not around it anymore.
But I, like, know that feeling.
Yeah. but I mean, I literally get to sit right next to the bench. Shauna will talk to me sometimes during games, ask me questions. Like, Dow was sitting next to me yesterday, and we were just, like, laughing, talking with Coach. And so it's fun to still be around everyone, but not having to, like, kind of kill my body for 40 minutes.
And I do have to say, on the radio side, as somebody who got into the business a little bit later, wasn't until my late 20s, you are a natural.
Thank
which
you.
Kind of makes me mad a little bit.
Thank
but
you.
But also, you know, I don't know if you have even done any studying or training on the whole thing, but you've slipped right in, and you sound great on the air.
Thank you.
Insightful contributions, and it really makes for a nice broadcast.
No, thank you. Yeah, I've done nothing with radio ever. Mike had reached out. I know they had asked Jen initially, but she does more of the TV stuff, and she's doing a lot of stuff with Big Ten, which is really, really cool for her. So I was kind of like, sure, like, I'll do it. Like, talk basketball. Like, that's not too bad. And Mike's been awesome helping me kind of adjust early on when I was trying to just figure out what to say, the flow of it, how to say it, how quick I need to be with stuff. And he and I have kind of fallen into a nice rhythm. So, but it's fun. I love basketball. My dad and I, you know, whenever I go home, we just sit, watch basketball, and we'll just talk about it. Like, it's something that comes easy to me. So I really enjoy it.
How hard are the emotions to... Like when you're broadcasting, like, you know, these girls, you know, like it's a, you know, 1 minute left, mm-hmm. come all the way back in tie Minnesota, all this stuff. Yeah. Like, it's gotta be hard to like keep that down. Right.
Well, yeah. And there's some like the Maryland, Iowa and Minnesota games, I have to say, are probably been the hardest ones, just because it's like, I know what Shauna would want. I know what Jen and I and Dal would do.
Sure.
And so it's like, I know what my group would do. And so I'm out there and I'm watching and I'm like, that's not what she wants. That's not what she called. And then like they'll run the play and I'm like, that wasn't ran right, or that was ran to a T. We just missed the shot. And so it's, I don't know. It's, I got to remember sometimes that I am live and I'm like, I can't like start coaching like on the mic. So then I usually have to explain stuff, but Iowa and Maryland were probably the two hardest games for me. Just like, I was just so nervous.
Sure. I get it. I want to go all
this
the
guy
way.
Gets it.
Yes. I mean, I sit there in press row. I'll leave press row sometimes because I'm so nervous during a basketball game. I just can't take it. Yeah. I'll go up and pace behind the loge seats just because I can't sit still anymore. I want to go back to when you transferred. Okay. So it's an interesting thing. Like, you are a transfer portal success story. Let's say it that way. That mm-hmm. you go 1 year, one place. Nope, that's not the place. You go another place. Yep, this is home. And then it's home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're the third leading rebounder in Big Ten history, like leading rebounder in Illinois history. Like, you found that home and where it fit. And it wasn't actually with this coach. Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to, you know, you commit to Michigan State, you buy a bunch of Michigan State gear, your family does, and then it's like, wait, I don't think that's it. Let's try some orange and blue. So take me through that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was in high school. I mean, I had probably 30-plus offers just from different schools across the country, and so it really came down to Iowa, Michigan State, and Illinois. Mm-hmm. And Iowa, they had Monica Sinano at the time. Hannah Stolke, I think, had already committed to them, or they were recruiting her, so then it was kind of like, do I want to go somewhere where it's, you know, they have a ton of bigs, but Jan Jensen's great with bigs. Like, she's one of the best bigs coaches in the country. So then I was like, you know, I don't know. And then my dad and I drove out there from Kokomo. Mm-hmm. And I was like, too far. No.
Sure.
And so then it was really between Michigan State and Illinois. And at that point, it came down to, do I want to go to a program that's already established, or do I want to go somewhere where I can rebuild? Mm-hmm. And coming out of high school, not really knowing, I was like, let's go somewhere that's established. Maybe I can learn. Really liked the coaches that were up there, but got there and what they had said kind of flipped. Mm. Once I got there, you know, I'm 4'5". That's what I've been all of high school, all of AAU. And I got there and they wanted to make me more of a 3-4, which is stand mm-hmm. in the corner and shoot threes. And that's mm-hmm. not really my thing.
Sure.
I can do it, but it's not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then there were some like other things that just, I was just kind of like, I don't know if this is the best place for me. And so I knew pretty early on into the season at Michigan State that I was going to transfer, but played out the season there. And then, hopped in the portal, do not contact tag. I really was kind of trying to reach out to, you know, Illinois, Iowa, mm-hmm. Just to kind of see what the situation was there. And then I did have a previous relationship with Shauna because she recruited me very heavily at Dayton in high school. Like, okay. She came to my brother's middle school tennis match just to show support. Like, the whole staff came just to show support really like wanted me. And I probably would have gone there with her just because I loved her, Coach Ryan. Like, they were all so great, but they didn't have my academic program at the school. It just wasn't even a thing. And so I'm like, I want to go into speech pathology. I'm like, you guys don't have it. Like, it's not your fault. And so then ended up, she reached out when I was in the portal and I was like, you guys still don't have speech pathology. Like, I can't, like, I've already done classes for it. And so then came to Illinois because they had a top-notch speech path program. I had a really good relationship with Nancy Faye, Coach Patterson, like, loved them. And so I was like, you know what, like, let's go somewhere where I'm going to have fun. I'm going to love the people that I'm around. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. Like, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And so absolutely loved it. Really, really enjoyed the staff, the girls, and had fun again after, like, Michigan State. Like, I just didn't have as much fun playing there. And so really kind of found my love for it. And I was like, all right, like, this is where I'm going to stay. Loved the academics. Josh Whitman was awesome. And so then when the coaching staff left, Josh actually called a couple of us into his office and was like, who do you want? Like, as a coach, like, do you have any ideas? And I'm like, you're asking me? I'm like, why are you asking me?
Yeah.
So we talked about it a little bit, and then we heard Shauna. I was like, I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere. And she's, like, such a great coach. And so then it just, you know, they grew my confidence a ton from, like, Michigan State to now, and so it's been cool.
Sure. I mean, if you're that 3-4 at Michigan State, I don't think you're the third leading rebounder in Big Ten history anymore.
No, not
I
at
mean,
all.
Your biggest or best skill not being used. So, yeah. And then to have it, you know, you come here and then Shauna comes here a year later. Mm-hmm. What a marriage of perfection.
No, literally. And she said, she's like, I'm going to coach you eventually. She goes, I was going to coach you. You told me no twice. I was going to coach you eventually one way or the other.
That is great.
So that first year, mm-hmm. there were a lot of losses.
Yes.
But you were having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was fun. Like, just, you know, just trying to think of just the game of basketball as a whole. I mean, that's our job, basically, is every day we play basketball. And so when it's not fun, it gets really long. Mental health gets hard. Like, just all sorts of things can just kind of make it feel long. And so, you know, we had fun. Like, I felt like I was growing a little bit. Like, I felt like I was developing a little bit more of the skill set that I wanted. And then, obviously, like, rebounding kind of became a thing for me that season. And then score offense was still kind of a work in progress because I only averaged like 6 points a game, but I was averaging 11 rebounds. So that's what kept me on the floor was my defense and my rebounding. And so just kind of having to develop that season. And I feel like I truly kind of adjusted to college basketball that season because I played for a freshman. I played a good bit at Michigan State. I played like 12 minutes a game for a freshman. I feel like that's pretty good. But once I got here and was playing in the 20s and really just got the feel for college basketball, I feel like.
So when you found out that there was going to be a coaching change, mm-hmm. I mean, what's the perspective of 2 years into your college career that your coaches are going to go? Because fans have their perspective, right? And administrators have their perspective, mm-hmm. and donors and alums and the whole thing. But at that moment, you know that there mm-hmm. haven't been many wins, but mm-hmm. at the same time, that's your coach.
Yeah.
So what's that feeling in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard. I really like Nancy. I think she's just super neat lady. Like, I loved being around her and all the staff, Coach Patterson, Coach H. Like, they were just really, really awesome. So it was hard, but I knew, you know, I try and think about it as like a basketball program is more than just a basketball program. Like, it's a school. There's school involved with it too. And I wanted to get my master's because I was, you know, with working with college credits, I wanted to graduate early, like be able to do some things to walk away from basketball with a good degree. And so I had really known like I wasn't going to leave regardless of who came. You know, I had talked with Adalia and Jayla Odin and we had kind of sat down. They're like, are you going to leave? I'm like, no, like I'm staying regardless. Like, I trust Josh. Like, I know, you know, whoever he brings in is going to work. And if it doesn't work, I know he's going to take care of it. And so I had full trust in him. And then when I saw it with Shauna, I was like, I told Dal and Jayla, I'm like, y'all better stay. Like, mm-hmm. she's awesome.
So it all turns, I mean, many know the story mm-hmm. that winning came, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. There was a little like, whoa, look what they're doing here when you, in that first season under mm-hmm. Shauna. And I know the schedule was a bit soft,
but you
rattled some wins together, strung some wins together, and had confidence rolling into Big Ten season. And mm-hmm. then there was I still remember you played Indiana really close
out there
in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. And was it the first year with the Iowa win on New Year's Day?
Yes.
You beat Caitlin Clark and everyone's, okay, this is going to be a different, you know, this is a new era, make mm-hmm. the NCAA tournament. So mm-hmm. you kind of have that when people think of you, Jen, Dahl, Makaira, you know, they were the turnaround people. Mm-hmm. You like mm-hmm. that sort of, we turned this thing around?
Yeah, I think it's cool. You know, like, obviously, like, maybe we didn't get as far in any in the tournament as we would wanted, or maybe we didn't get as far in the Big Ten as we would have wanted, but I feel like we were able to set the foundation and kind of bring back, like, hey, Illinois basketball is a thing again. Like, we're good. We're bringing in recruits. Like, we don't have to offer 20 people now hoping to get one or two. We can offer the ones we want to offer because we're that good now. And so that's where I think, like, you know, we're able to get Cece and, you know, Erica and Destiny because we kind of just built like the foundation back, and then these girls want to buy into it and they're super talented. So then they come in and they continue what we're doing and make it even better. And so I just think, like, you know, I think it is really cool just kind of being the group that kind of brought it back and then letting these young ones just kind of take over. And I feel like they've done a great job at just kind of taking that over.
I'm glad you brought up Cece, Ciara Parchment,
yes.
for those outstanding mm-hmm. players. She is so impressive. Yes. How is she similar to you? How are you different? Mm-hmm. I mean, she shoots a lot more.
Yeah, she does shoot a lot more, yeah. And so I think she's almost more of a 3-4 than a 4-5, but I know Shauna kind of likes that undersized, big, you know, quicker utility big kind of thing. But I definitely think she has more guard skills than I did, for sure. Like, I think I was more of a back-to-the-basket mid-range. She's more of a drive three-pointer. We'll use back-to-the-basket, but, I mean, those trailing threes, like, I pretty, they're going in. Like whenever she shoots them, I just have confidence that they're going in. I think we both rebound really well. I think she's kind of got that knack for it as well. Like just finding the ball, finding ways to be aggressive. She takes charges. I never took a charge. You couldn't pay me to take a charge. I know coach always wanted me to, but I'm like, if I go down, it's going to take me 5 minutes to get back up off the floor. So I'll just get out of the way or block the shot or get a foul. Like it's fine. But no, I mean, she's been really fun to watch. Like it's cool to see, like I kind of see a little bit of me in her, like just with the way she rebounds. Like I remember, like it was a practice, and Justin, who's our video guy, Justin needs a raise. He does everything for us. He's a scout player. He does our video. He does all sorts of little things. And so they had started tracking like offensive rebounds, and you got like a prize at the end of the week for like offensive rebounds. And that was kind of what prompted me to be like, oh, like I want an offensive rebound. And then I realized I was good at it, and I was like, oh, okay, let's keep this going. And so just being able to do that, and I see that in her at such a young age. And I always love a good rebounder. I think it's just a job that no one really wants to do. And so I love seeing her do it.
You know, recording this on Monday. Do all Big Ten teams come out tomorrow, I think? Yeah. Probably. Usually the Tuesday before the Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. So I haven't looked. Like, I know there's that one outstanding freshman. I doubt CeCe will get Big Ten Freshman of the Year, but she's close to that level, right?
I think Mike and I were talking yesterday. I think she is definitely a front runner for it, but I think Jazzy Davidson will get it. She's from USC. Yeah. Media too, like she's Jazzy's. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like
yes, it's 100%
political. Like Jazzy's in the media and yes. all this stuff. She's USC. She's like the number one player. Like all this stuff. And you think about the head to head too. She had 27 against us, which, you know, whatever. I think CeCe's more of a well rounded player as a whole, just mm-hmm. with her ability to shoot outside. I mean, she's a five starting our fast break.
Yeah,
I was trying to get the ball out of my hands as soon as possible. I was like, Jen, sure. please come back and grab it. I don't want to dribble.
Yeah,
but like as well rounded as she is, like you know, but
yeah. Yeah, and so to have her combined with Destiny, combined mm-hmm. with like this young core, mm-hmm. I really appreciated what was it the UCLA coach that said, yeah, mm-hmm. like keep these together, and this is. Trust me, this is really going to be something. So mm-hmm. what do you see as the future for this team if they keep this core together?
I mean, if they can keep it together and just add good pieces every year, whether that's freshmen from the transfer portal, I mean, I think we can be really, really good. I mean, and I always say, like, freshman year is the hardest because you have an adjustment period at the beginning when you're learning college basketball. Like, mm-hmm. that's just a whole – like, I remember my first practice with Michigan State, and I was like, what in the world is going – like, it's right. so fast.
Right.
And then, you know, you have your next adjustment with Big Ten. Because, like, the non-conference games, you know, there's a lot of really good mid-major teams, but they're just not the physicality and the speed that Big Ten is. And then you play Ohio State your first game, and you're like – oh, and so then that's another adjustment period, which I saw both CeCe and Destiny kind of go through a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then it's kind of that halfway point through Big Ten where they kind of catch on. And CeCe had, like, I think 4 double-doubles back-to-back. You know, she had a couple, like, 18, 20-point games. So she's kind of caught on. Destiny's kind of caught on. So, yeah, I mean, I think if we can keep this group together, it'll be really, really good, and just with other pieces.
Yeah.
Do you feel – I feel – let me just say, let me assert – I feel that there are not very many upsets, even amongst good teams mm-hmm. in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Do you see it the same? It just seems like teams kind of find their slot, mm-hmm. and they tend to beat the teams they're better than, and they tend to lose to the ones they're worse than. And I don't know why that is.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's, like, I always see it as, like, three different ranges of the Big Ten. You have your top, I usually say 4 to 5 that are just – gonna beat everyone, and then they'll beat up on each other. And I feel like that's where a lot of those upsets are, is kind of in that top five area, if you would have like Ohio State beat UCLA mm-hmm. or something. And then you got the middle of the pack, everyone that's fighting for that single day bye in the Big Ten tournament. You've got kind of your 6 through 11, I would say. And though I wouldn't necessarily say those are upsets, because I feel like all those teams are pretty even. And then you have, you know, your bottom couple that just, you know, you can kind of expect to win against almost. But I wish there were more upsets, I would say. But I just feel like this conference is so good that it kind of establishes itself pretty early on once you get into Big Ten play. And just the talent level is so good. Each team's different. But I definitely do wish there were more upsets. I wish we could have had a couple of them the last couple games. But, yeah.
So there's a sentiment that I hear and sometimes even feel myself amongst fans. Not everybody. I'm speaking in generalizations. If the men lose a close game, even to somebody that mm-hmm. is, quote, better than them, mm-hmm. you know, there is a lot of criticism gets thrown, maybe unfairly. Mm-hmm. If the women lose a close game, like the Iowa game, like like yesterday in Minnesota, and you know, we don't have to talk about how impactful the officials were in that game, but but there's a lot of, well, golly gee, you just gave them a great game, pat on the back, good for you. And I don't, is that almost patronizing or pejorative, or do you feel like, hey, no, we need to be held to a higher standard? Because I know Shauna hates to lose.
Yeah, she does. No, and I've never really thought of it like that. It's an interesting way to put it. Like, I've never thought of that. I mean, my only thought would be, you know, Brad Staff's been here longer. They have more of an established kind of what the standard can be. So I wonder if that, I mean, Shauna's only been here, this is her fourth year. And so, like, I wonder if a couple years down the road, that still, that will be what it's going to be. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, I did see some online criticism yesterday of, well, look at, you know, here's what they've done so far in conference play. And people have to be like, do you understand where things were and where they are now?
And I think that's, I think that's got to be why.
Yeah. And do you have to you understand? Like, that's almost a badge of honor. Yeah. If you're getting that kind of criticism. Yeah. You have to also understand Destiny and Ciara are really good and they're freshmen.
Yes. And that's like, that,
as long as they stay together, they're going to get better.
Yeah.
And they're already good.
And that's what I need. Like, that's what I think some people understand, some don't, is that these guys are young. Like, we had one senior, and Gisella, she didn't really play that much this year. And so we've been playing a ton. And you know, you think of Barry. Barry didn't have that sophomore slump this year because she got all her learning curves out of the way with us last year because she played significant minutes. You know, Jazz played significant minutes. But, I mean, Gretchen was out, you know, and it's been out.
Yep.
And so then, I mean, you're really relying on you know, Jazz and Barry to, I mean, a sophomore and a junior to, like, lead this group. And I don't think Jazz played a ton her freshman season either. And so it's like everyone, I feel like, is just kind of stunted a year or two, whether it's injury, transfer, whatever. And so it's just such a young group, and they've got to figure it out too. And feel on the court with for each other is such a big thing that, like, a lot of people don't recognize because they're not out there playing, like, with someone every day for over half the year. And that makes a difference. And you can tell they're starting to figure it out. But I think next year, some of these mistakes that we're making later in the games with passes that we're making that are causing turnovers, like at Iowa, like, those are going to fix themselves. Like, I mean, the play was ran to perfection. It was just a second late. So we have to know if you're late on this play, you can't pass it in. So, like, just some of those little things.
I want to go back to your junior year. I went to the WBIT final in Indy. I mean, remember this. The WNIT still exists, but that's not the official NIT. It's the WBIT, right?
I think I said WNIT earlier.
Yes, because the name was already taken.
So it's incorrect.
Yeah, yes. So it's NIT and then WBIT and then March Madness.
Yes. So I was trying to explain to somebody, like, the WNIT is more like the CBI for the men.
Yes.
And the NIT for the men is more like the WBIT for the women.
Yes.
But that was as much fun as I've ever had at a women's game. Mm-hmm. It was just so good. It was just such a great environment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you saw a lot of the season ticket holders for Illinois women's basketball. Mm-hmm. It was just this celebration moment for them, right? Like, you're on ESPN and it's this, playing Villanova, you beat them in the end. You know, it's the whole thing. There's streamers coming down and there's, you know, a trophy presentation and everything else. Where does that rank on your memories of your time here?
That's definitely a top two, top three for me, I would say. I mean, that was just such a cool experience. And that season, that was kind of a rough season. I think we kind of were below expectations most of that conference season. But somehow, for some reason, we turned it around in postseason for the WBIT. And we just were like, we're just not going to lose. Like, if we're in this tournament, if you're going to put us in this tournament and not March Madness, we're going to win it and show we should have been in March Madness. And so I think that was kind of the mentality that we had. And Hinkle Fieldhouse, being from Kokomo, Indiana, it's such a cool place to play. Like, it's historic. It's old. It's so cool. And
rims are 10 feet.
The rims are 10 feet.
Exactly. Yep. But it was just such a cool experience for a lot of us. And that was the first, you know, postseason championship.
Sure.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, we made the tournament, but we lost in the semifinal. It was the postseason championship, and we won it. And so that was what also I think was so meaningful to a lot of the, you know, season ticket holders, the alums, is that we won a championship in something. It's not where we want to be, but it's a good starting point for even these guys now to build off of and have a goal of, like, hey, we need to win the Big Ten tournament. Hey, we need to go, like, to get to Sweet 16 in March Madness. And then they can build for that next group.
Yeah. I have told people that, like, if people say, well, like, okay, what's the best defensive performance you've seen in a basketball game? I say Adalia in that game against, what was the girl who
Lucy
transferred
Olsen
to Iowa?
Yeah.
like just shut her down in the second half, mm-hmm. and that was the game. And it was just, you could tell each stop she's like clapping and she's like, let's go. Mm-hmm. And the crowd starts noticing, like, oh, let's pay attention to the defense here.
Yeah.
It was one of the more like, whoa. And then come down, of course, Olsen, she's shot but 25 times a game whatever. You know the ball's going up, and mm-hmm. she just shut her down. It was such a great moment.
Oh, yeah. Dal is one of the best defenders I've ever played with. And she was someone, too, this is something I appreciate about her, is like, in the game, like, she accepts any sort of feedback. Like, there'd be times in the game where she'd get in her own head sometimes, and Jenner, I'd be over and be like, hey, get your crap together. Like, come mm-hmm. on, we need you. Like, you are the one on this person. We need you to stop them. And she'd be like, all right, got it. She'd never take it personally. She'd never, like, say anything back to you. She's like, got it, locked in. Mm-hmm. And she knew she was our best defender. I mean, she is also a freak athlete. Like, mm-hmm. if you've ever been in a weight room with this girl, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure she can deadlift more than some of the football players here. And I mean that, like, I mean, she's a unit, and she's so strong. And so, but like that game, I mean, she, and I know coach still talks about it, but she was so, and she scored for us that season. She's been scoring quite a bit for us. And, you know, coach really applauded her. Like, she was okay with not scoring. She knew that game defense was her assignment, and she took like full heart in that.
Yep.
And so that was just, I mean, it was a really good defensive performance.
Yeah.
At the same time, at the end of December, Robert and I did a top five moments of the calendar year for uh-huh. Illinois athletics. Mm-hmm. And we listed the win over Creighton in the mm-hmm. NCAA as one of those, because it was the first NCAA postseason win mm-hmm. since
2000.
Yeah, yep. 2000. And it was a good ball game,
yeah.
too. And I just thought that was, you know, planted the flag, new milestone achieved for the program. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about the tournament is, and I've noticed this, it's true in volleyball and softball also, and baseball, with how the postseason structured, there's a host team. Mm-hmm. And it is really hard if you are not a host team to advance past the second round. Now, first of all, you're most of the time you're facing a top seed for a reason, but mm-hmm. then you're also facing a crowd. So, like from my perspective, I knew you were up against it when you would face Texas mm-hmm. after the Creighton win. So I felt like that was almost like, this is the season here. You won this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was... We were like, we kind of knew we were going to be an 8-9 seed, so we had been prepared for a while to play a 1 seed. That's 8 or 9 is not what you want at all.
No,
but we had been kind of prepared because that's where we had been projected for most of the year, and so we took. I mean, we at that point, you kind of know, like, whatever game you lose next, you're done for good. And so I know, like, us seniors, we took that Creighton game, and like, we kind of held on to that a little bit. Like, that was just cool for us to finally say, we have a win in March Madness. We made it to the round of 32. We are, you know, we made it past 32 other teams. And so we took that. And then Texas was just going to be a battle. I mean, they're just a solid group. And so we kind of, you know, after that game had, you know, had our moments, but we kind of looked back on that Creighton one as just a kind of a stone setter in the foundation.
So the loss yesterday to Minnesota, mm-hmm. makes a 10 seed against mm-hmm. Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. If you'd been in the 8-9 game in the Big Ten tournament coming up, which would have been Thursday, mm-hmm. You win that, and they're going to play UCLA, who's number one.
Yeah.
If you win the 10, who do you get next?
Iowa.
Yeah.
Because if we beat Wisconsin, we play Michigan State. If we beat Michigan State, we play Iowa.
Okay. Look, none of those are a walk in the park, but...
I like this better. Yeah. No, I like this one better. I mean, I know, and I've talked about it on the radio before, like, a day does make a difference, especially when you're playing back-to-back, and especially with how much some of these girls play for us. And so I know that that could really make a difference, but I just feel like, you know, and it's hard to play a team twice in less than a month, so we played Wisconsin already. But I like this Wisconsin matchup, and if we can beat them pretty good, rest our starters for a little bit and the ones that play quite a bit, and then go into Michigan State, had the jitters out already. And that's mm-hmm. what, you know, no matter how many times you play in the Big Ten tournament, it's still really cool when you get there. You still got the jitters. You know, this is, again, a win or go home. And then so you're kind of nervous. So
sure.
I'm excited for some of these younger girls to maybe get that out against Wisconsin, feel a little more comfortable going into Michigan State.
Do you feel – the team's on the bubble in terms of the NCAA? Like, does a win over Wisconsin kind of secure a spot?
I feel
you're not a bracketologist, but
no,
yeah.
I feel like if we could get the first two games, if we can get Wisconsin and then Michigan State, I feel like that would make me a little more confident in that. But yeah, I mean, if especially if we could beat Iowa. I mean, if we could beat all three of those teams, then I think we definitely do secure it. But I think a win against Michigan State would definitely help.
And it goes to missing it. I mean, you know the experience of the play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always a tough thing to do and to go through. So if there is a win over, you know, get a couple wins here, you can mm-hmm. not only safely put yourself in, but probably avoid one of those play-in games because that's the tricky yeah. thing.
And those are hard, too. I mean, because if we beat Wisconsin, we get a 20-win season, which I yeah. feel like it's kind of hard to deny a 20-win team
yeah.
into the tournament. So I just feel like sure. like that would just help a little bit. And then just icing on the top with Michigan State.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Our producer is Ella Peterson. She has been on a few of your broadcasts yep. in the past as a part of Big Ten Plus and is joining our conversation here.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey.
Okay, I've been so interested back here. And Kendall, I think the biggest thing when you're talking about all this and how much you know about the game,
mm-hmm.
do you see coaching in your future?
Yeah, I get asked that all the time. I don't really know. I think if I would, you know, obviously I feel like the only place I would really feel comfortable doing it's probably like a Big Ten school, just because I know the conference, I know, you know, a lot of the coaches in the conference, that sort of thing. But I know my dad wants me to coach because he's mentioned it before. But I'd probably start out like a high school level or like smaller college and then try and like work my way up. But I mean, if they had a spot at Illinois, I mean, I'd definitely take it. But it's it is a lot though,
Shauna,
at this level.
Are you listening?
Yes, that's right.
But yeah, yeah.
And then these old guys, they're talking all about your career, which is
old guys.
So fun to listen to.
That's right.
Thank you.
But I want to hear a little bit more about your new career, kind of your thoughts of in the sports broadcasting industry. It's a yeah. weird one to be in.
Yes.
Kind of how's your experience been?
It's been really, really fun. I've really enjoyed getting to work with Mike Kuhn quite a bit. I mean, he's awesome as the play-by-play, and I feel like we've kind of figured out how to flow with each other as color commentary and play-by-play. But it's so fun. I think it's really helped me quite a bit adjusting to not playing basketball, because I mean, you're right there on the court, you still feel all the emotions, you still feel all the nervousness, but I'm not necessarily having to be out there. But I think it's so fun, like just getting to kind of sit back and watch the game too. Like I wasn't on the bench a ton as a player, so I never really got to like watch the game and get a feel for it. I just had to go out and figure it out. So it is kind of fun just to, I mean, I get paid to sit and watch basketball and talk about it. Like I don't know if it gets much better than that for you know, former college basketball player, but it's so fun, and I've really enjoyed it. It's something I had never really thought about until Mike asked me to do it, but it's definitely something I would like to continue to do for sure.
And I'll wrap it up with, do you have a favorite moment you've called? Like, what is your highlight reel moment so far this season?
Ooh, my highlight reel, I'm trying to think, there's so many. I mean, I think like overall just watching, I wouldn't say it's a specific moment, but I would definitely say just watching these girls develop throughout the season and just kind of like getting to watch them, especially like Maddie. I talk about Maddie Weber all the time. Like seeing her from her first game with us to now is a night and day. And like I tell her all the time, I'm like, you were just really shooting threes those first couple games. And I'm like, all right, like, is she just a shooter? Like, I've seen her do all this other stuff. And then she's just slowly has come out of her shell, and just seeing her be more confident, seeing her take, I mean, those mid ranges are like money for her. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like with Jen, if Jen shot a three, I'd run back down the court. I'm not even going to try and rebound it because it's going in. Like, that's mm-hmm. how I would feel with her. And just seeing her and Destiny, like Destiny not be just a passer anymore. She's had 17 points the one game. Like she takes it to the hole. And so just kind of seeing them develop and just kind of getting to sit back and watch that for them, I think has been one of the coolest things.
Has it been fun to be on these trips, right? Like you're kind of,
yeah,
you know, yes. broadcasters, you know, Scott's talked about this before with baseball, you know, mm-hmm. you're on the bus, you're in this, you know, how's that mm-hmm. been to like still be around?
Yeah. So the first one I went on was Florida State, which was a really fun game to call. But that was like, I was doing double dip, and I was doing radio, and then I was doing some donor stuff as well, because we took sure. donors with us. So I was doing sure. both. So I was a little more busy that trip, so that didn't feel as relaxing. But I can't remember what the next one was that I went on. But like
Oregon State?
No, I didn't go on that one because we had football. I think Michigan was probably like the next one I remember. But like I didn't have anything to do. I didn't have to be anywhere for a team meeting. I didn't have film. Mm-hmm. I didn't have recovery. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I could go out to eat. I didn't have to eat the chicken and asparagus and potatoes that we have every time.
Sure.
And so that like, it was so different, but it's kind of nice. Like it's sure. just kind of relaxing. It's more of a and I know it's not for anybody else, but like taking it from as a player when it's a business trip to kind of like down here is like I kind of get to do whatever I want. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
How do you take in the men's side? Do you watch? Do you have sort of a mental critique? Do you watch the X's and O's of the men's game?
My dad and I talk about it quite a bit. We watch a little bit of them. Sometimes it's hard. I love them, but sometimes it's just so hard to watch them, especially when they're down a little bit. But they're a fun group. They're a very talented group. Like David, like he's. I get to work at like 7:30 because I'm a morning person, so I'm up early. I mean, there's times he's in the gym shooting, sweaty, like already worked out before I even get in there. And I know Brad has talked about him quite a bit as being someone like if we had 20 Davids, like we'd be awesome. Like we'd be so good. And so it's kind of cool to see them develop too, especially because Brad does a lot of recruiting internationally and out of the portal. Like it's not a lot of guys trying to keep everyone together. I think he's just kind of accepted the fact that it's like it is what it is. We're going to, you know, do what we can. And so it's been fun to watch them, especially Keaton too, kind of blow up in conference play for sure. But they are fun to watch there. I enjoy watching them. My dad and I do critique like the offense quite a bit and just kind of some of their defensive stuff. But yeah.
Have you watched with Adalia at any time when she's watching Ben play?
No, I haven't watched okay. with her. I know she went out to the West Coast trip with them. So she was mm-hmm. out with Ben and his family when they went out to the West Coast.
Just curious if she's a get up and pace when he comes in the game kind of person.
I need to ask her. I don't know. Yeah. I know I am a pacing person. Like if it's yep. close, like mm-hmm. obviously I can't on the radio, so I have to sit on my hands because I'll start talking mm-hmm. with my hands quite
sure,
a bit.
Sure, sure.
But
yeah.
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 Yeah, that's the one thing about broadcasting. Helps you be in the game without mm-hmm. Just having to sit there and go, well, you don't have any control over it, but you feel like you're in it.
Yes.
So
yes.
You can... You can't control it, but you don't have to just sit there and only be nervous.
Yeah.
You can... channel that into something, which is one of the things that's fun on the broadcasting side.
Yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
But on the note about you mentioned the portal and the men, mm-hmm. but to bring it back to what you brought up and the potential for the young crew to stay together, and even I would say the mid, you know, Barry and Gretchen, mm-hmm. And what this team could be next year. I feel like there's still more of the Kendall Bosticks out there mm-hmm. like you, where it's like, well, I'm staying in this program because it has a degree I want. And mm-hmm. I'm not trying to, there's just not as many professional opportunities mm-hmm. and probably not as much NIL mm-hmm. Opportunities. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's still a little bit more about your degree and more about mm-hmm. the program or the geography or, mm-hmm. or just the coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so maybe that is why you can still look at, hey, they're going to progress up. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I should let you talk here, but I get it.
No.
If somebody were to transfer, that's what happens.
Yeah.
I understand that, but I think there's more of a, hey, we could stay together thing here.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, with, you know, Shauna runs, it's a hard system, I think, but like once you learn it and figure it out, it works. Like as much as we didn't do it when I was playing for her and she'd go crazy at us, like it works. It's a good system. So you've got a good coaching staff with a good system. You've got a top university for academics and multiple things. You know, Midwest might not be everybody's favorite, but you know, Champaign, you're 2 hours from Chicago, so you got some good stuff. But you know, I think
notice she said you're 2 hours from Chicago, Robert.
I did.
He's you're from St. Louis.
I'm a St. Louis
oh,
guy.
Nice.
You're fine. You're fine.
But I'm a Chicago guy.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So we're fine.
but you know, like I think with we got the revenue sharing this year, obviously, so I think that helps a little bit. But my guess is a lot of it's playing time. Like, I think a lot of girls just want to play, like, mm-hmm. whether it's the want to play or thinking they should play kind of thing. I think that's what maybe prompts most of it, just from, like, my experience and, like, what I've, like, heard from people and seen. That's what would prompt most of it. But there was someone tweeted something or there was an article a couple weeks ago about Shauna and just retaining people. And she's always been able to retain, I think Jayla transferred to Penn State, but basically all of her starters and players that play over like 20 minutes, she's been able to retain everybody like that. And usually the people that transfer the ones that didn't play and want to go play somewhere else, which I totally get. Like I, you know, and my mom always talks about too, like you know, to not at this level, to not play and go through the work that we do every single day, it would drive me nuts. Mm-hmm. Like I would I do this every single day and I don't play. So I've never, one of my teammates, Sam Dewey, she was here for a couple years and she is out at UMass and she's starting, six man off the bench, doing great, loving it, is closer to her family and she's doing great and she's having more fun than she was here. And so that's, you know, I never fault anyone for leaving for the right reasons. Yeah. And then that's, you know, that's how I see. But I feel like if the girls ever hear this, I want them to all stay. They just need to stay. They're such a good group. They play so well together. And just as the years go, they will, if they stay together, they will reap the benefits of that.
Yeah. I think they have very much the potential to jump from that mid tier that you're talking about and the upper part of it into the upper tier. And hey, why can't Illinois be, considered with what UCLA and USC are usually, what Iowa is usually, what Michigan is, you know, right now. So why can't they? The resources are here. The stadium's here. The fan base is here. The coaches are here.
Yeah. And
players are here.
Yeah. And if you bring in, you probably bring in one or two transfers, a couple freshmen, and usually one of those transfers is going to be significant contributions in one way or the other. And so you add whoever that's going to be next season to that and the season after that. And then you got another freshman that you're going to try and grow. And so I think we've got a good thing cooking here.
I have one final question.
Okay.
So we have this little bet on the podcast.
Okay.
It is, we had the track coach on. We were talking about the long jumpers on the team, on the women's team.
Okay.
One jumped 23 feet something inches. It was the second longest in the world this year, something like that. And we were discussing it, and I said, out of nowhere, I could jump 10 feet. I could get 10. She got 23 feet. I could get 10 feet.
Okay.
You kind of famously didn't win the Edelman Award last year because a long jumper beat you to the award. I would have voted for you.
Thank you.
Shout out, Kendall. But here's the all of that to just, yes, see how I tied in.
Are you going to ask her to go long jump just to prove it?
No. Can I jump 10 feet? Running start. All I got to do is clear 10 feet. What do you think? What do you think is possible? I'm not allowed to warm up, so the stretch.
I can
stretch.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not allowed to practice. I said I could just go out there and do it, so that's what he said. We're going to do it a bet to this whole thing. We're going to raise some money for charity, all this.
Okay.
We're asking guests, what do you think the chances of me, you don't know me, clearing 10 feet?
The fact that, let's just say this is a bet, so you already know there's people in this room. At least one person in this room that feels like he can't. So
yes.
Yes. You know.
Don't point your fingers. Yes. 10 feet.
I'm trying to get rulers in my head and lay them out.
Here's
on the floor.
I say to people: parking space. You pull in a parking space. Those are usually 9 feet. The paint stripe to the paint stripe is 9 feet. So I got to clear. I got running start. Obviously, can only jump off 1 foot.
We call it a moving start.
Yes. Yes. Good point. Yes. A tumbling start, and I got to clear 10 feet. Do you think it's possible? I'm okay if you say no.
I don't even think I could do that. So I'm gonna have to say no.
Okay.
I don't even think I could do that.
I'm just gonna prove the world wrong. This is what's gonna happen.
That her baseline fitness is probably a little bit ahead of yours.
Tiny bit higher than mine. Yes. Yes. Okay. I appreciate it. I'm just getting all sorts of opinions from people on whether this is even possible or whether I opened my big fat mouth and said something I won't be able to pull off.
I love it.
Kendall Bostic is the former Illini basketball career rebounding leader and now the radio analyst for Illinois women's basketball, as well as director of Varsity I. And she and Mike Kuhn will be on the call for Illinois Women's Hoops Wednesday against Wisconsin in the Big Ten Tournament. Tip-off at 5 p.m. You can catch it on the Illini Sports Network, WDWS AM in Champaign, or the Varsity app or FightingIllini.com. And I hope that this is not your only visit here to light the eye, because this has been a fantastic time to have.
Yeah, this has been awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for doing it.
Yeah.
Well, you're in a cheerier mood now, Robert.
I am. She's the best, man. We didn't even talk. She won the Big Ten Medal of Honor Award. She won the Outstanding Sportsmanship Award as a senior, Medal of Honor as a junior. This was an accomplished athlete on and off the court. And now the fact she's still on campus and on broadcasts and helping Varsity High, it's amazing.
You know, recency can play a big factor in it, but I think she would be worthy of consideration of an honored jersey. Now, there's criteria that Illinois has established for honored jerseys for both the men and the women, and there's a reason you establish criteria so you don't just run with emotion.
You have three numbers left, yeah.
But, yeah, she just had that kind of impact on a program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So pretty cool. And number three rebounder in the history of the conference. I said that once, and somebody reached out and like, well, she had a fifth year because of COVID. Well, even if you take away her rebounds at Michigan State, she still is the number three rebounder in Big Ten conference history, just from her 4 years at Illinois. So she, outstandingly productive on the court.
All right. What else we need to touch on?
Well, we got to talk about baseball, right? Yes. Like, we got to talk about five wins in a row.
Yeah.
So tell me about the weekend in Greenville.
Extra inning win over Michigan State.
Not a conference game.
Not a conference game. Shutout over Charleston, and then had a lead, lost it, but then took care of business over Albany to sweep the weekend there. And that's good because you've stockpiled a few wins now. You start Big Ten play. It's going to be tough this weekend against USC. They're pitching really well. And, yes, Big Ten play starts in Los Angeles this coming weekend, Illinois and USC.
What's the I saw the dog logo for Albany. What's their mascot?
The Great Danes.
Great Danes. Wow. I didn't expect that. Okay. Great Danes. Albany Great Danes.
U Albany is the preferred.
Oh,
U Albany.
Mm-hmm. Is that SUNY?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Officially the State University mm-hmm. of New York at Albany.
Got it. But took care of business there. So, yeah, five in a row.
Yeah.
I guess that Butler loss is the only one that kind of sticks out as like, man, needed to win that at home over Butler.
Yeah, EIU tomorrow. They're always scrappy, especially against Illinois with former Illini pitching great. Jason Anderson is their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like rain. We'll see if we get that game in. But, the defense is starting to gel. And pitching just is overall. They don't walk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They don't walk a lot of guys. And that's just – it's we've talked about that. We talked about Dan Hartlett. But, you know, it's Brad Underwood's offensive rebound and defend. It's Brett Bielema's run the ball, stop the run, cover kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Be solid up the middle in baseball and don't give up free passes. These are the things where you don't beat yourself and you're going to be in ball games.
Yep.
And Illinois is doing that, and they're starting to swing it a little bit. And they will be tested very well against USC.
AJ Putty is, we're talking like the next star kind of thing. Yes. True freshman, he's hitting, he's fielding, he's like, the name on AJ Putty.
Yes. Watch out for AJ Putty. He is definitely on pace for an all Big Ten freshman type year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an all Big Ten. There's 17 teams. So
sure.
I haven't looked enough at the other freshmen across the conference, but he's early contender for a freshman of the year type of player.
I always forget there. Who is it that Wisconsin doesn't have baseball?
Wisconsin has no baseball.
That's right.
Illinois and Wisconsin teams. Played the final game of Wisconsin's baseball program.
What year? Do you know?
Mid-90s. Somewhere around where they said, let's just be really good at football.
Yeah.
And not worry about some other sports.
Yes.
So, good stuff. And track. Track and field takes second in indoor for the women, takes second in the indoors for the Big Ten championships.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but David Woods, he has covered track and field for a long time, used to write for the News Gazette in Champaign. He's in Indianapolis. He has his own site that covers track and field. He's just one of the go-to guys with track and field. He has said a number of times now that he thinks Illinois' chances with the women to win a national championship is better than the chances to win a Big Ten championship. I don't know how that quite computes, but it's the way scoring works and how these events work.
Mm-hmm.
So he was at least right in this sense. Oregon won the Big Ten championship in track and field, and Illinois took second.
Mm-hmm.
And just for perspective, the quote by Petros Kyprianou is, "This is not the result we wanted, but I'm still proud of the team." They took second.
Yeah.
They took second.
Yeah.
They won it in 24. Mm-hmm. They took second last year, and they took second again. And it's a little bit of like, well, yeah, that's close to where we wanted to be.
As we kind of talked to him about, it's like, I'm guessing Oregon won the track side and Illinois won the field side, right?
I'm guessing.
Yep. Yep.
I know Megan Humphreys and Sophia Beckman and all those people that can definitely clear 10 feet.
10 feet is easy.
No problem.
Uh-huh. That's a warm-up.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of Light the Eye. Thanks to our guest, Kendall Bostic, for joining us. Our producer is Ella Peterson. A job well done. For Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. We'll talk to you again later this week when, once again, we light the eye. What's it gonna take?